You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Possibly the only chief executive officer on the JSE that has a smile on his face today is the gentleman I'm about to speak to, because they reported their interim results today. I'm talking about the Purple Group, and I'm joined on the line by Purple Group's CEO, Charles Savage, to reflect on the company's performance. Good evening, Charles. Lovely to speak to you again. Let's start with the reflections of interim results. Obviously, a stark contrast from the previous set of interim results, but all for the better.
Yeah, hi, Jimmy, and thanks for having me on, and evening to your listeners. Look, I think anybody who's been watching kind of the key indicators that we've been unpacking in our results every year in terms of assets, clients, revenue, and cost to serve could have probably predicted that at some point those things are going to turn in our favor. And, you know, we've built a huge customer base, but we needed to monetize them in a way where their cost to serve was low and the revenue was kind of above those numbers. So, you know, whilst I think the market's fairly surprised, and it kind of shows in the share price jump today, it's not a surprising result for us. It's been what we've been working at, you know, strategically for 10 years, I guess, now, and we've just got to the point where we're kind of getting the business model right, and the right number of customers, right number of assets, and right predictability in some of the earning streams.
Charles, you mentioned that the focus has been obviously on monetizing the business and monetizing the client base. I noted that the non-activity-based revenue is actually higher than the activity-based revenue by some 24 million rand there. Do you want to just take us through some developments around that and potentially how much of that was contributed by the introduction of the new Thrive program?
Yeah, look, non-activity revenue, you know, benefits from a higher interest rate environment. We obviously, you know, we're sitting on cash and customers' cash, and we make a margin on cash. So we'll always benefit in a higher interest rate environment. And then, you know, as you noted, Thrive, we introduced it in October last year. And Thrive had two sort of attack points. The first was really around getting customers to ensure that we were front of mind in customers' heads once a month. And they could, as a result of that, either pitch up, they could make a deposit or do an educational activity. And if they did, they would avoid having to pay the fee, which is 25 Rand. Or the alternative is they could see value in the platform and decide that they were very happy to pay for the platform and pay the 25 Rand. And so Thrive is in that inactivity revenue line, and it's had a significant impact, but it's had a significant impact in two ways. More people are pitching up and making deposits, and I guess the best reflection of that or evidence of that is we broke our deposit record in February, which was 35% higher than what we were doing in October when we introduced Thrive, and that was over a billion rand in deposits in February. And then the second area is that there are hundreds of thousands of customers who see value in the platform and are happy to pay 25 rand for the service we provide. And as a result of that, that's obviously boosted inactivity revenue.
Charles, I want to look at the smaller units within the business. There's a bunch of new products, things around the Easy Protect that has some 30-odd average policies at around 190 a month, and some really smaller business units within the group. How are they doing as cost centers? I imagine these aren't cheap to run, but surely you've also applied some of the learnings from the past, to say that if we roll out a project now, it might not break even in the first 6 months, but we've got a certain timeline around that. How are the smaller projects faring?
Yeah, look, Jimmy, I've never built a business that ever meets its budgets in terms of when it should be profitable or not. And, you know, all of these businesses we build on the basis that they service our clients' needs, and we kind of predict profitability within the short to medium term, and really between sort of 3 to 5 years. So it's not something that's going to be, you know, profitable in the very short term. And some of them were built, the decisions to build them were made in a time that was very different. So if I take Easy Credit as an example, we made the decision to build that product when interest rates were half where they were. And we believe to go and sell credit in this environment very aggressively would be the wrong thing to do for our customers. It undoes a lot of what we've done in terms of building wealth and assets. So it's something that we're not selling aggressively into the market, and it's only there kind of to replace more expensive debt that our customers might have in their lives, like credit cards as an example. And with the other products, they're still in what we call whitelist, which means that they're in limited release to a small audience of customers to ensure that we've got everything right. Easy Protect has been in whitelisted for over a year now. We've had significant findings during that period. We've optimized the product, and we think we've got a highly disruptive insurance product that we can take to market with much more fervor in July, which is the planned release to all of our customer base. But there's no shortcuts to profitability. That'll take, you know, 1, 2, 3 years, probably closer to 3 years to get to profitability. But when it does, it will make a significant impact on the group, as has some of the smaller products that we might have talked about 3 or 4 years ago, like, you know, Easy Crypto and Rise, that are making significant contributions. So these products aren't designed to impact the income statement in the first 12 months. They're there to, you know, give us growth beyond the next 2, 3 years, while we really stay focused on our real growth opportunity, which is to capture more South Africans and, you know, keep them falling in love with the Easy Equities platform.
Mm. Charles, I want to look at the longer-term products or the longer-term businesses. I see we've rebranded Emperor Asset Management. That has fallen away. That no longer exists. It's now Easy Asset Management. Is that part of the ongoing strategy to sort of unify the brand? What was the rationale there? And was Emperor just not profitable at the moment, or was it just a strategic decision to change the direction of that business going forward?
Yeah, you know, if you think about Purple Group 10 years ago, pre-Easy, it was everything but Easy Equities. Today, Purple Group is everything about Easy Equities. And so, the group has really become the Easy Group rather than the Purple Group. And as a result of that, we've got an extraordinary distribution opportunity and brand that we've built in Easy Equities, or the Easy Group. And so all of the products need to fit into what we call a two-lane highway. You know, they've either got to help our customers build wealth, or they've got to help our customers protect wealth. And so long as the products fit in those lanes, then we've got an extraordinary advantage over all of our competitors to distribute those products to 1 million, 2 million customers. I mean, we've got 1 million account holders, 2 million registered customers. So those products fit in. Again, a bit like Easy Credit, what's the right time and right place to promote the product? So when is it a priority for us to promote? You talked about Easy Asset Management. When will it be a priority for us? Well, the priority will shift. We're listing 2 active ETFs in the second part of this year on the JSE. And once we do that, we'll shift focus and attention to growing that business. But up until now, you know, I think people have sort of misconstrued. We do a lot of things outside of Easy Equities, and we built a lot of products and businesses outside of Easy Equities. But 80% of what we do still today is just about Easy Equities, because whilst we've reached 1 million customers, the market opportunity is to get to the next 1 million and then the next, you know, 1 million after that. And we don't run out of growth opportunities for Easy Equities until I think we get to about probably the tax paying base of South Africa, which is sort of 7.5 million people. So I think importantly for us, all of these other products that we're building future proof the business model and allow us to have much more significant revenue or share of wallet from our customers in the medium to long term. But the real strategic focus in the short term is just to focus on what's in front of us, which is Easy Equities.
Sounds like there may be a rebrand on the cards coming up for GT247, but we'll visit that another time. Charles, I want to look at the international business. How is that being received? Obviously, as you said, the Easy Equities brand took you forever to establish and build credibility around, and you've taken that outside the borders of South Africa to the likes of Australia and the Philippines. How is the brand being received internationally?
Yeah, in Australia, we've got about 15,000 customers, which when you compare it to South Africa, is kind of insignificant. The competitive landscape there is really high, and rands don't go a long way when you're trying to buy customers through marketing in a first world market with a hard currency like Australia. So Australia, to start with, gave us a nice entry point to international customers, but more importantly, it plugged a hole in our operating capability. So it gave us the ability to operate 24 hours a day. But it's not our focus to grow the business right now in that region. Philippines is where our international focus is. You know, we've been at it for 3 years. We've got a business there. We've got 40 staff, most of them engineers, which are helping us build our tech, and the balance of them predominantly operations staff that help us run our business 24 hours a day. But we've got a growth team there as well, which are focused on finding partnerships in the region. And as we've, you know, said very openly, we've secured possibly the best partnership we could ever secure in the region with GCash. We haven't yet managed to get products live in the market, and that's proving to be much more difficult than we expected. But I'm very confident we'll get there, but I can't tell you when.
Well, we'll keep an eye out for those developments. Wishing you all of the best, Charles, for the second half of the year. I look forward to catching up when we reflect on full year results. No doubt they'll be much better than what we've seen in the past. And all the best to you and the team once again. Charles Savage, CEO of the Purple Group, joining me to reflect on their interim results.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.